Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good morning to you. This is Rabbi Michael Katz. We are here on Judaism 101.9 on Chai FM, coming to you live from our studios here in Joburg. It's wonderful to be in your company. It's, of course, fantastic Joburg weather, just a little cool, beautiful, beautiful sunshine outside. And we are in the midst of the 3 weeks, of mourning, starting from the 17th of Tammuz, leading up to Tisha B'Av. And we're kind of in the middle part, right in the midst of these 3 weeks, and heading towards the Shabbos on which we bless the new month. And the new month, of course, is the month of Av, which is going to come in earnest on Tuesday night and Wednesday of the coming week. And then we go into what is known as the 9 days, the last 9 days of those 3 weeks, a more intense period of mourning leading up to that fateful day of Tisha B'Av, when not one but two Batei Mikdash, two temples, were destroyed a few hundred years apart, both in Yerushalayim, the first one by the Babylonians and the second one, the Romans. This obsession to destroy the temples, this obsession to destroy Jerusalem, to beat the Jewish people. We think that anti-Semitism was just invented lately. It's always been around, and there's always been this obsession with Jews, with Judaism, with our Torah, with our connection with God. And perhaps you have your theories, and we all have ours on why it is that there's this obsession. And perhaps it stems from jealousy, and perhaps it comes from an inadequacy. Perhaps it comes from the fact that the Jewish people have shown the world what is right and what is good, and people can't handle that, objecting to the correctness of it all. Whatever the reasons, it's been something that's been going on for centuries, not something new. And we think about it at the time of these 3 weeks. What was it that led to these destructions? And of course, what we do as Jews is we introspect, we take a look. We say, you know, nothing happens in this world without it being something that we need to see on a deeper level. It's got to be a lesson for us. It's got to be something that we learn from. And we also have to introspect, think about where we could improve. It's all very well to say that the world out there needs to be fixed, but we've got to start with our world and fix that first. And once we've done that, then we can move on and think about all those outside of ourselves. But we ourselves are worlds within ourselves that need some wash and polish, rectification, fixing up, a little bit of attention, some care, and some more adherence to what it is that God expects from us, and that we were set about doing and keeping and being God's representatives here on earth, keeping his Torah, leading the way forward, and being that kingdom of priests that we're meant to be. And with that, if we take a look back on the 24th of Tammuz, going back in history, as we often do at the beginning of Judaism 101.9 on a Thursday morning, we're going to look back and see what happened on this day some centuries ago. In fact, if we go back 927 years to the year 1099, interesting, the Jews of Jerusalem were set aflame. What happened in 1099? Now, this wasn't Babylonian times, and it certainly wasn't Roman times, but this was the Crusades, when the Crusaders captured Jerusalem. During the First Crusade, the Jews of Jerusalem fled into a shul. They went into a synagogue. The delightful Crusaders then set aflame to the shul, and they burnt alive all the Jewish men, women, and children who had taken refuge there. And from that stage on, all Jews were barred from living in the city of Jerusalem for the following 88 years. Now, you talk about people who have been through difficulties and suffering, and banished from their land and so on, for 88 years from 1099, from the time of the First Crusade, and that horrific incident of the burning of the Jews of Jerusalem alive in the shul. Jews were banished for 88 years from living in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. Now, if we think that that's all, well, let's think about Shabbat, which is going to be the 26th of Tammuz, where in 1759, so that's going back 267 years, the Frankist sect was created by Jacob Frank, claimed to be the reincarnation of the false messiah, Shabtai Tzvi, in the mid-1700s. He sought to create a new religion that would incorporate both Judaism and Christianity, leading to the formation of what was known as the Frankist sect, centered in Poland. In 1759, the Bishop of Lviv arranged for a debate between the Frankists and three prominent Jewish leaders. They were Reb Yisrael of Mezhebish, the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Chaim Rappaport, and Reb Yitzchok of Beer Margulis. And the four-day debate ended with a resounding victory for the rabbis. The date was instituted as a day of rejoicing, celebrating the successful halt of the Frankists' evil influence. So, some good news within this period of time, the 26th of Tammuz, the day on which the Frankists were vanquished in 1759, 267 years ago. If we go forward to Sunday, the 27th of Tammuz, you know that once again, anti-Semitism, once again, an expulsion, this time an expulsion from France in 1322, so 704 years ago, after having been allowed back into France in the year 1315, after the expulsion in 1306 by Philip IV. The Jews were once again expelled from France by Charles IV, who thus broke the pledge made by his predecessors in 1315 that Jews would be able to stay in France for at least 12 years. So who cares? They made it a little shorter, and he banished the Jews once again from France in 1322. So it made no difference whether it was Philip or it was Charles, whoever was at the helm, they like-mindedly saw to the banishment of the Jewish people.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Judaism 101.9 with Rabbi Michael Katz here. It's a Thursday morning, and between 11 and 12, we have the opportunity to explore things Jewish, to look at the things that perhaps we didn't know, or that perhaps we forgot, things that we learned as kids, or perhaps we never learned, things Jewish in events that have happened in the past, a reflection on today, and the stuff that we've got to know, what we've got to do, what we should be thinking, what we should be thinking about, what we should be doing in these days, and particularly in these days of the 3 weeks building up to the 9 days coming, Rosh Chodesh Av, which comes in on Tuesday night and Wednesday of the coming week. We've been reflecting back a little bit, looking back in history. And did you know that the 29th of Tammuz, which is going to be next Tuesday, was actually the day on which Rashi, the famous Rashi, the commentator who did so much to comment on just about everything in Torah and gave us a deeper understanding of everything, both in the Tanakh, in the Bible, as well as in the Talmud and then some. Well, it is his Yahrzeit. The day of passing of Rashi was the 29th of Tammuz in 1105. That's 921 years ago. He was born in France, in Troyes, in France, in 1040. And his commentaries on the Torah, the Prophets, and Talmud are universally accepted as the most basic tool for the understanding of these texts, whether you're a child or a scholar. Numerous commentaries, authored on his commentary, in his famed Rashi talks, the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, repeatedly demonstrated how Rashi's simple meaning of the text style enfolds many layers of meaning, and it's often resolving profound difficulties in the text and presenting new, innovative interpretations with a single word choice or rephrasing of a midrashic passage. And then, if we go forward to the first of Av, which is going to be next week, Wednesday, actually Rosh Chodesh, it is also the anniversary of the passing of Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the high priest in 1274 before the Common Era. He was the brother, of course, of Moshe and Miriam. He passed away at the age of 123 on the first of Av in the year 2487 or 1274 before the Common Era. And it's actually the only Yahrzeit date of passing that is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that interesting? And a precursor to what we want to talk about or think about with the advent of these 9 days that are coming up and looming large on the horizon already for next week. So let's think about What happens when we go from the month of Tammuz into the month of Av? And that is going to happen, as we said, during this coming week. So it's going to be Tuesday night and Wednesday. What happens then is that we have a Rosh Chodesh, but it's a Rosh Chodesh with a difference, because the Talmud tells us that Mishenichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. When the month of Av comes in, we diminish in our joy, which means that the main factor of Jews and Judaism always is the factor of joy, how happy we are, how besimcha we are. Now, simcha, we've described and discussed before, is not just the idea of getting up and dancing and saying l'chaim and jumping all over the place and showing outward, perhaps even sometimes frivolous happiness, but it is rather a state of being and a state of mind and a state of purpose that says we are besimcha. Besimcha means that we have a positive outlook, a positive disposition, a happy outlook, that we smile before we grimace or cry, that we look on the brighter side of things, that we have an ability to have a positive, joyous, and really fulfilling attitude towards everything. And when we think about the main yardstick by which we measure Judaism per se, it always is Simcha. And therefore, when it comes to the month of Adar, we say Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. The Simcha factor has to be there. Now we just increase in joy. When it comes to the month of Av, Mema'atim B'Simcha, our joy gets slightly diminished. That doesn't mean that joy is cancelled. It doesn't mean that we have to have an attitude of doom and gloom. It doesn't mean that the 3 weeks or the 9 days or the period leading up to Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av itself, doesn't have to be a time of sadness, endless sadness and depression. It has to have the overlay of positivity. There's got to be the simcha factor that comes into it as well. We've always got to look at Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, these 3 weeks, as a period of time during which we reflect on the past, we look at our present, but we've always got to have a focus on the future. It's not going to stay like this. It's not going to be like this forever. It's going to be changed, and it's, please God, it'll change very soon. Please God, even this year, that these things will be turned around, and that the day of Tisha B'Av and these 9 days and these 3 weeks will be turned into days of ultimate joy and happiness. In the meantime, in the interim, we are still in the throes of a golus, of a diaspora. We're still in the under the shadow of the destruction of not one but two Batei Mikdash, two temples in Jerusalem, and all the difficulties that came during this period of time, the 3 weeks, the 9 days. And we started this discussion last week, where we talked about the fact that it was in the 3 weeks that we had the very first idea of the 3 weeks, which we started last week Thursday with 17th of Tammuz, that on the 17th of Tammuz, five calamities, great calamities of the beginning of the destruction of the temples, that it all began, that the walls of Jerusalem were breached, that it led to directly the destruction of the temple, that we had this kind of closing of this noose around us, making things restrictive and tighter and so on. And so in halacha, in Jewish law, this period of time is referred to as bein ha-meitzarim. A meitzar is a limitation, between the limitations. Now, it's not just between the goalposts, the limitations of the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, but it's like this idea of restriction. We have a restrictive kind of an existence during this period of time. We're not at liberty to, for instance, hold wedding celebrations. We don't have live music performances. It wouldn't be the appropriate thing to attend a concert, to go out for public entertainment. And the noose tightens a little bit. It becomes a little bit more restrictive when we come to these 9 days. So from Tuesday night through till Tisha B'Av, we have more restrictions. So added to the ideas of the 3 weeks, we come to the 9 days, during which time, from Tuesday night, we do not eat meat and we do not drink wine. We do not swim or bathe for pleasure. We do not launder clothing. We do not do building, expansion of a home, alterations, etc. We don't plant trees to be used for shade or fragrance. we don't buy or sew or knit new clothing. We don't cut nails during the actual week of Tisha B'Av, but we'll talk about that then as well. We continue not to have any weddings. We don't play musical instruments to or listen to music. We don't recite the Bracha Shechayanu, and we don't take a haircut or shave. And the sanctification of the moon, which will be on a Saturday night, doesn't take place during the 9 days, but it's rather postponed until after Tisha B'Av. Now, there is also no law forbidding traveling during the 9 days, but it's customary to refrain from traveling or engaging in any potentially perilous activity during these days, unless it's absolutely necessary, and one may have an engagement, but a wedding, of course, is not held, and if there's going to be a party, usually that would be postponed until after the 9 days. So, if we think about this list of restrictions, it is notably very much like the balance of the 3 weeks, but here there's a tightening of it, and the tightening of it, or the more restrictions that are added, are the ideas of primarily eating meat and wine. Now, just about everything in Judaism we often joke about is all about, well, what do we eat? Every Chag, every Shabbos, every special occasion seems to have a certain style of eating, or a certain substance that is eaten, or a certain foodstuff that we predominantly eat. You know, we all think about the matzah and Pesach, of course. We think about the apples and honey and Rosh Hashanah. We think about the cheesecakes on Shavuot and so on, and the Hamantash and on Purim. Well, here is a time where we switch from eating all sorts of foods to a restriction during the 9 days, with the exception notably of Shabbat, when everything is permitted just like any other Shabbat. But from Tuesday night, from the Advent of those 9 days, we restrict our eating habits to not include meat or wine. Now, why meat and wine? Well, these two substances are the mainstays of Simcha events. You know, it's become a tradition, an everlasting or a long-lasting tradition. It always was a long-lasting tradition, let's rather put it that way, of Jews, that when we celebrate Simchas, whether it is a wedding or a bar mitzvah or a bris or a grand celebration, that the mainstays of the celebration are meat and wine. Now, where did we get that from? We got that, of course, from the idea of the Beit HaMikdash, or the temple. Meat and wine were the main offerings, so the main substance of the offerings of the that we brought to God, and therefore they became representative of the greatest way to celebrate a simcha. When we have a wedding celebration, meat and wine is what should be served. It's become a more modern tradition, where we live in a world whereby other foodstuffs have become a little more popular. Meat has kind of put it out there, gone off the boil a little bit for a lot of people, and so milchic foods and so on have become a little bit more in vogue, a little bit more fashionable. However, still, when we have a simcha today, we should really have meat and wine, and that, of course, is what we do on a Shabbat or a Yom Tov. We make sure that we partake of those substances. They are kind of the benchmark of what a real simcha meal is actually all about. Now, being that we are going into the 9 days, a time when the sacrifices in the temple were stopped, the offerings weren't allowed to be brought. We're talking about the morning of the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash, or the two temples in Jerusalem. How can we really have meat and wine kind of flippantly and like overlooking the fact that these mainstays of our connection with God were thrust into the darkness of non-existence from the time of the destruction of the temple? And at the time of the destruction of the temple, particularly when we commemorate it, when we think about it, we refrain from eating those things, from partaking in those things, and being viewed as perhaps flippantly getting involved in all sorts of wonders and pleasures and happy and joyous kind of association when our temple lies in ruins, when we no longer are able to bring those meat and wine offerings and bring ourselves closer through our korbanot, through our sacrifices to God Almighty. And so from Tuesday night onwards, up until the day after Tisha B'Av, which is the 10th of Av, it's going to be Friday of that week, we do not eat meat, we do not drink wine, we stay away from those substances. Now, it does not exclude all sorts of other foodstuffs. So, of course, yeah, fish, any other vegetable, etc., or milchic foods may be eaten, absolutely no problem. As we said, Shabbat is the exception. On Shabbat itself, even during the 9 days, we do eat meat and we do drink wine, absolutely no problem there as well. But meat, and that, by the way, includes anything that qualifies as meat, so chicken, chicken soup, etc., are also avoided during the period of the 9 days. And please God, we should see the time when we take these 9 days and we turn them into days of joy and happiness, which we're promised will happen when Mashiach will come.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
This is Rabbi Michael Katz here with you, and we're on Judaism 101.9 on Chai FM. It's great to be in your company, and we are talking about the 3 weeks, the 9 days, the advent of the month of Av, and how we are to look at it. What is this all about? How do we look at it? So we spoke about the things that we don't do. What about the things that we do do? What should we be doing? Well, our sages of old have told us that there were many reasons why there was a destruction in the first place. So when we look on the surface, we see anti-Semites, we see people who just wanted to destroy, and they came and they marauded and they vanquished and they did all sorts of terrible things and they plundered and so on. When we think about it from a spiritual point of view, well, why did this actually happen? What were the root causes? And our sages come up with a number of root causes. One is Avodah Zarah. People were leading lives whereby they were worshipping idols. Now, we've got to qualify and say, well, Avodah Zarah doesn't necessarily mean that people were bowing down to golden calves, that they were actually worshipping idols. But in fact, as is explained in many classical Jewish works, the idea of Avodah Zarah is just giving space and credence to the fact that there may be, or that there is, something else besides God. And that could be self-worship ourselves, where we think, where we say, you know, look what I did, look what I accomplished, and don't pay homage to or don't recognize that everything comes min ha-shamayim, that everything comes from God. Or perhaps placing our too much trust and God-like kind of image of others, of other people, or the worship of money, or the worship of idols in a sense of either personalities, pop idols, dare I say, soccer players, football players, people that we idolize, that we look up to and think that literally they are so beyond anything else that we idolize them, we look up to them and we revere them in a way whereby we should be actually only focusing on God. Well, that is one realm of what our sages pointed out was one of the reasons for destruction, Avodah Zarah. Second one is immoral behavior. Immoral behavior is a huge no-no, or a huge defining factor of what brings about destruction. And immoral behavior can be on any level, whether it is of interpersonal behaviors or whether it is immoral behavior in the way of fraud and theft and corruption and so on. but any kind of immoral behavior was another reason why destructions happen. And a third, perhaps we'll only suggest these three, a third is the idea of wanton hatred, of hating people, of looking askance at others, of looking down upon other people, of not paying enough, or giving enough attention to the way we treat others and the way we look at other people, and the fact that each and every individual, each and every person has a part of God within them, and God created them, and therefore we need to remember that each and every individual represents a part of God. Hating a person is actually hating God as well. And thinking about all of these things during this period of time is not only something that we should do, but it's something that we have to do. We have to work on, and we should be focusing on, doing more in these realms, making sure that we are spending more time in our godly connection, that there can be no doubt about where we worship, who we worship, what we worship, and that it is all about God and His unique oneness and His unique, the fact that God is everything and everywhere, and there is nothing else besides Him. Ein od milvado, there is absolutely nothing else besides God in this world. Point one, making sure that we look at that, that we study that, that we daven harder, that we pray harder, that we get more involved in that realm. Number two, that we correct some of our difficulties and our own immoral behaviors and inability to keep to what we should be doing. And number three, that we show a lot more Ahavat Yisrael, a lot more care, concern, and love for our fellow men. We'll be back to sum up for you right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, welcome back. Yes, Rabbi Michael Katz here with you in Judaism 101.9. We're talking about the 3 weeks, the 9 days, the coming month of Av. And let's think about it. You know, the month of Av is made up of two letters, an Aleph and a Bet. Aleph and a Bet spells the word Av, which we know is a father. Now, Aleph and Bet also has the numerical value of three. Aleph, one. Bet, two. Three important areas and three important things, perhaps, that we should be focusing on at this time. Yes, the halakha, the Jewish law, tells us that during these 9 days, during these 3 weeks, we need to diminish in joy. We need to make sure that we're in a frame of mourning, and people get into this kind of almost semi-superstitious idea that, you know, terrible things are going to happen, and therefore we should crawl under the nearest rock and not come out until after Tisha B'Av. No, far be it from that. Definitely not. That is not the way that we take a look at these 3 weeks, at these 9 days, at the advent of the month of Av, and even the coming of Tisha B'Av. It's about reversing the cycles of destruction, taking away from the three main causes, the things that brought about difficulty, destruction, banishment, exile in the first place. The one is Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Let's make sure we move away from idol worship in any realm, and that is making sure that we continually acknowledge the uniqueness, the oneness, and the onlyness of God Almighty. We say it every day. In the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, God is one, and God is the only one. There is nothing else besides God. Everything is God and godliness. Number two, that we move away from any bent that we might have, any chance that there might be for immoral, incorrect, unethical, bad behavior, whatever that is, whether it is in speech, whether it is in action, whether it is in thought, all those things we need to make sure that we put them out of our minds, we put them out of our mouths, and we put them out of our hands. We get rid of anything that is negative from a moral point of view, and that we behave correctly, that we do the right things, and that we keep to our Torah and its mitzvot every single moment that we possibly can. And thirdly, and finally, and perhaps most importantly, that we show a lot more Ahavat Yisrael, that we go out there being kind to other people, whatever it means to be kind, smiling at people, greeting people, helping people, giving charity, doing good things for others, whether they are your brothers and sisters, whether they're your parents and your children, your grandparents, your friends, your community, your family, or those who are not your family, just because we can and just because we care. This is all, of course, contained perhaps in that word of. This is a time for positive energy and positive action, rather than to crawl away and say, this is a period of time that I'd rather not do anything. We need to go out there. We need to do something. And in that way, we can change it all. We can turn these days into days of joy and of happiness, of gladness. Let's reveal that Mashiach spark within ourselves, and in so doing, make sure that Mashiach actually will arrive, and all of these things will be reversed. The negativity will turn into the positive, and we'll have days to celebrate rather than days to mourn. I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead, a great Chodesh up ahead with the coming month of Av. And let's hope that the next time we speak, which is destined to be within the 9 days, that in fact we will be speaking in days of joy, of happiness, a reversal of it all, and that Mashiach will already have arrived. So great rest of the week, great Chodesh up ahead, and look forward to being back with you, same time, same place next week on Judaism 101.9.